Today is the 29th of January 2022, and this is the 18th session on mindfulness for beginners in English. And I would like to warmly welcome Venerable Bhante Homagama Dhamma Kusala Theru, representing Nisarana Vanaya Monastery, for today's session for the program for mindfulness. And I would also like to cordially welcome all the participants joining through Zoom and Mixlr for today's session. The first item in our agenda is the mindfulness practicing session. So I would like to hand over the program to Bhante to commence to start up activities with the in-session mindful practice. Over to you, Bhante. Thank you so much.
Hello everybody. So today we will take about 15 minutes to practice a mindful sitting session. For this, you have to make sure that you are comfortable in your seat and your body is balanced and upright. When you have that comfort, you can close your eyes and pay attention that you are sitting. Just notice what you feel when you calmly sit like this. You may notice sounds from your surrounding. Maybe the thoughts appearing. Among them, you can feel that you are seated. You can feel various sensations from your body. Maybe ingoing and outgoing breath you may notice. Maybe you will notice the pressure on your back. So the idea is to calmly observe what you feel and be present, be aware that you are sitting. Sounds may come and go, thoughts may appear and disappear, but still you are aware. You may feel sleepy or pain inside your body, still you are aware. Again and again, you will feel your breath going in and out, maybe the movements of your stomach. You can continue your awareness about the present moment. Let the things come and go while you sit in peace, sit in comfort. So as a group, we will try to sit for a few more minutes mindfully. Okay, now you can slowly open your eyes. Take a moment to notice how you feel. This is about 15 minutes of mindful sitting that we just did. Notice how you feel after 15 minutes of practice. So with that, I think we can move to the next part now, Mantu.
Thank you so much, Manti, for that session and practice. Next, we have the brief introduction into the commencement of mindful practice. I would like to go through these steps in a little detail. We have prepared two videos, one on mindful walking and one on mindful sitting. You can see the links for the YouTube, for the two YouTube videos. I will put the text in the Zoom chat section soon for you to copy and paste. You can go through the video on mindful walking and gain a basic understanding of what you have to do, what kind of things you have to focus on, and how you can see the focus shifting between from objects, and also how your mind will work during that time. Then you can go through the mindful sitting video and understand the sitting position, information on what to observe and what to remember so that you can put it into the report. Once you are familiar with both these instructional videos, you can move on to an actual practice. You can allocate any time. We would recommend any time from about 10 minutes to 1 hour as your time permits and as your enthusiasm permits. So you can schedule one session on mindful walking first, and then you can schedule the second session on mindful sitting, allocating the same amount of time possibly. And you can continue this for several days, 3 to 4 days. With that, you will get cumulative practice on one session on mindful walking, continued for a few days, and the second session on mindful sitting, continued for a few days. Once you gather this valued experience, you can go to the next step of writing a reflection report. So the first part in the reflection report will be to write down what you observed during your mindful walking, how your body moved, how your focus shifted from leg to leg, or from one sole touching the floor to the next sole touching the floor. So then you can describe what you kept as the if you you can describe what you kept as a primary object through the session. It need not be the same object throughout the session. The object of attention is usually the sole of your feet or the body movement, and if you feel it's shifting to something else, you can report on that as well. So you can write that in your own wording. Then the next is mindful sitting practice. So in that session, you can describe how you felt, the breath moving in or out, whether it was the breath that was in fact your actual primary object of attention, or whether it was the abdomen or any other body movements or vibrations that was happening during that time period. So you can write what you observed, what you focused on, or how your focus shifted. And you can also describe whether there were any difficulties or obstacles in terms of bodily pains or thoughts coming and disturbing your focus. You can write all that. And then you can describe in your own style of writing, and then the next step would be to send us the report using the Google form or the email shown here, and we will be having this session on a weekly format. So each week we present all the reports, reflection reports received in this way to Bhante, so that Bhante can advise all of us during the session. Your reports, whether you are an absolute beginner or whether you are a more advanced a beginner or more advanced in your practice, will be helpful to yourself and to all others in the session, including myself. So we would always encourage you to go through this cycle of feedback and advance your mindfulness training along the track. So with that finished, the next step would be to go through all the reports submitted for today. So confirming that there are three reports for today's session received through email and Google form. And I would like to kindly invite Gihanta to present the reports for today so that Bhante can advise further. Thank you, Gihanta.
Thank you very much, Namantha. A very good morning to Venerable Bhante, the organizers, and the participants. Today, we have a total of three reports, as Namantha mentioned, two adults and a child. I'll begin with the first report from the first adult. There is walking meditation followed by sitting meditation. Walking meditation. Watched the sensation on lower legs and feet. Initially observed hard, soft, warm, cold, sweaty, cooler areas and areas touched that were not touching the floor. Waves of cold spread all over the body, at times top to bottom and vice versa. This went on for about 10 minutes, on and off, and then passed. Noted lifting, moving, lowering, placing, pressing. Thoughts occasionally proliferated. Noted came back to feet, sometimes when placed, other times when passed. Sounds heard with movements, not distracting. When turning, allowed mind to note sensations, not just in the feet, as mind naturally went to breath, noting cooler inner breath, in breath and outer warm breath. Mind went back to feet when walking recommenced. Also tingling through the whole body. Walked 1 hour. End of walking meditation.
Do we have another part in that report?
Yes, Bhante, there is a sitting meditation part as well.
Okay, we will read the entire report and then we will discuss.
Okay, Bhante. Sitting meditation. After writing report for the sitting meditation, sat mindfully to watch breath. Remembered a few extra things to add to previous report. Mind noted cold in and warm out breaths. Shorter in breath and the breath broke up soon. Breath disappeared and reappeared very subtly. Heartbeat observed. Mind alert, peaceful. Noted body posture and about 7 or 8 times jerking of body, not falling asleep, happened. Sounds heard, not distracting. Tingling all over. Occasional thoughts came and went and also not distracting, except at the end had an urge to open the eyes, which happened. It was 1 minute before the hour, so waited that extra minute observing breath. Thank you very much for the guidance, Bhante, to all the organizers for this opportunity. End of report.
Okay, so we can hear a lot of valuable details in your report. These are little things that we observe when we pay attention to walking and sitting, when we pay attention to the present moment. Whenever you pay attention to your present moment, whenever you pay attention to the body, you can feel these things, not only while walking, sitting, but maybe while doing your day-to-day activities also. Once in a while, if you pay attention to your body, you can notice various things, various details, the temperature differences, how the ground is feeling, how the breath is there, you can notice. So these things assure us, these things make sure that we are present we have our attention in the present moment. So that is the practice we are doing. And maybe within like 10, 15, 20 minutes of practice, you can feel some peace in your mind. You can feel lighthearted. So within like 10, 15 minutes of practice, you can feel it. There were a few sessions last week, around 7:30 p.m. So when I connected, I was very tired due to some other activities I had to do. But along with the kids, I was able to do like 10 minutes of walking, 10 minutes of sitting. And after that, I felt a lot better. I felt relaxed. So I even asked the kids, how do you feel after 10 minutes of practice? This is what I feel. This is what I noticed in my mind. I was very tired when I started, but even 10, 20 minutes of practice makes me relaxed and calm. So that is a good sign. Now in your report also, you mentioned that after a while the thoughts appear, but they are not disturbing, they are not distracting you. They come and go. They go on their natural way. The sounds, various feelings appear. They just come and go. So that observation is a very valuable one. Maybe you don't know the depth behind this observation, but in your report, you have that information. So this is the idea. When you practice, when you have a mindful mind, it won't bother so much. It won't grab the thoughts so strong. Instead, they just come and go. The incidents, various situations just come and go. So this very peaceful nature that you experience while walking and sitting, you can bring to your day-to-day life. It is, of course, harder. It takes a lot more practice, but still, this very feeling, this very peace, you can bring to your day-to-day life. So imagine if you have this type of a feeling, this type of not distracting nature in your day-to-day life, then how much peace you would have. So that is the aim of this practice. That is what we are striving towards. So what you experience during walking and sitting, you can relate to this practice. This is what I noticed after 20 minutes of practice, but it is not permanent. It is temporary. Within maybe half an hour, it goes away. But still, when you practice again, it comes back. So the practitioner, they know that this state of mind is there. This peaceful nature of mind is there. And our aim, our target is to achieve that even in our day-to-day life. When you have that type of a mind, it won't bother so much. It won't worry over little things. It will be more and more forgiving to the surrounding, to yourself, and to the people that you deal with. So that peace is what we are aiming, what we are trying. You can feel that in your walking and sitting. So try to continue your practice, try to practice more and more, and notice how this peace, how this calming nature spread towards your day-to-day life, how you can take this peace into your day-to-day life more and more. Only way is practice. Practice walking and sitting as a habit, daily time slot you have to separate for that. Instead, after separating, after doing that, you can try and do your day-to-day activities as well, mindfully. And that is how you bring this peace into your day-to-day life. You support this with walking and sitting, formal meditation, and you do your daily activities mindfully. You try your best. And when you do that for maybe like few months, then you can see, now I have this peace even in my day-to-day life. The peace is spreading. So that's a very good sign, very good early signs that you are heading in the correct direction. So you should be happy and try to practice more and more.
Thank you, Bhante. The second report, also by an adult, sitting meditation, observed sensation of touch of air at the nostrils. Sometimes the tension was more prominent at chest and shoulders as a rising and falling movement, but returned quickly to the breath. Touch of air during out-breath more prominent on upper lip. Noted increasing intensity of sensation during in-breath, starting gently and becoming more noticeable before reducing again. Noted pause before out-breath began. Did not notice the same variation in intensity during out-breath. Noted sounds followed by streams of thoughts before the attention returned to the touch of the air in the nostrils and on upper lip. When sounds were noticed, felt that attention was outside and distant, whereas touch of air was closer and inside. Continued to notice touch of breath until the bell rang at the end of 30 minutes. Felt alert and refreshed. Walking meditation. Aware of pressure on soles of feet. Walking barefoot on tiled floor. Noted cold at heel, inside of arch, ball and toes of each foot. Intensity of cold increases and decreases with amount of weight being borne by the foot. With each step, noted how weight shifted and sensation of cold on soles of feet varied. Sometimes there was a stickiness as each foot was lifted, but also noticed that this was sometimes absent. Noted extra pressure at heel or foot on some steps. Continued in this way for 30 minutes. End of report.
Okay, in your report, you are noticing the variations of your breath, right? When you observe, initially the breath was like this, then it varied. Then towards the end of your sitting, it was like this. So you are noticing these subtle variations. So that is a good sign. Even during your walking meditation, there too you can notice this type of a change of sensations. It is not staying equal, staying constant. Instead, it is changing. So if you are not paying enough attention, if your mindfulness is not strong enough, then you might come and say, no, it stayed the same. I sat for 30 minutes and breath didn't change. I walked for 20 minutes and it didn't change. It stayed the same. But again and again, we ask them, can you observe some difference? Can you notice some change in the sensations, change in the breath? When you have that outlook, when you are looking and asking yourself whether the breath is changing, whether the sensations are changing, when you look that way, then you come and say, oh, okay, I noticed after 20 or 30 minutes, the breath changed like this. It showed some change. So that is a good start. And you are encouraged to observe the changes more and more. And when you do that, you can see the breath is always changing. Within like 10, 15 minutes, it starts changing. And this is how it went, right? So in your report, you have that observation. So my suggestion is that continue to observe this change. Try and follow this change more and more closely. And tell us next time, what are your observations? Where the breath is leading us? Where these changes are going? So that observation you have to do. Even while walking, you can feel the same variation, same changes in the sensations. So that too you can mention in your walking report. So during this week, try and notice where this breath is leading us, where the changes are heading. If you have that outlook, if you have that point of view, when you sit, then it will start changing even rapidly. The breath will start changing even rapidly. So that is what we encourage. Try to observe that change. Try to tell us where it is leading you.
Thank you, Bhante. The third and final report is from a child aged 14. Sitting meditation, roughly for 20 minutes. The observations about the breath. Mainly felt lower down in nostril. Initially, only felt breath along the bottom of left nostril due to blockage in right nostril. Blockage soon dissipated, meaning breath was more strongly felt along roof of left nostril. Cold in-breath and warm out-breath. All breaths roughly the same length. No physical discomfort except slight ache in spine and neck, as well as pins and needles in right leg. Slightly disoriented following meditation. Some physical exhaustion following meditation went away after a few minutes. End of report.
Okay, so 14 years old, and you are able to present a report like this. So that's a very good sign. Now you know how to practice mindfulness. You know how to pay attention. You know what to observe. So this is the practice that we want to do. And make sure that you are spreading your time equally between walking and sitting. So if you can at least do 20 minutes of walking, 20 minutes of sitting daily, that's a good achievement. For your age, it's a good target. And you don't have to do it at once. Maybe you can do the sitting in the early morning. And before bed, you can do the walking. So both are important, especially if you want to have mindfulness while doing day-to-day activities. Then walking is the one that supports that. If you only do sitting, you will tell, when I get up, I can't meditate. Then that's the end of my meditation. But if a person like the walking more and more, if they appreciate the mindfulness in walking, then they are interested in their day-to-day practice as well. So this yoga teacher on YouTube, she's telling, once I fall in love with the pose down dog, then only I fall in love with yoga. That's how I recommend. That's what I recommend. If you fall in love with the pose down dog, then you fall in love with yoga. So I am saying, if you fall in love with walking, then you fall in love with this mindful practice. So that is the turning point. Not only sitting, but the walking part. If you fall in love with walking meditation, then you find the proper rhythm. Then you understand the proper practice. So it helps a lot to understand the correct way of practice. So walking is important. That walking will support your day-to-day life, day-to-day activities mindfully. So that's the idea. Try to do it as a habit. Try to make mental health a priority in your day-to-day schedule. If you start that at this age, then when you grow up, you will find it much easier to practice, to deal with your day-to-day stuff, and to deal with the world, and have peace in your mind. So this is a turning point in your life if you continue this practice. This is a very good age where you can start your practice. And when you grow up, you will understand the real benefits. So what I suggest is that try to do both walking and sitting. Try to report about them. Then try to make it a daily part of your schedule. Give some priority to the mental health. Mental health is important. More and more people, the society, they start to understand the importance of mental health. Maybe they are too late still. They start to understand. There are so many hashtags you can see related to mental health, encouraging mental health, encouraging people to take care of themselves, not the physical body, not the outside world, but the mind. Because mind is the forerunner. It will create your physical body. It will create your outside world. You think it in the reverse manner. Usually you think that surrounding will create me. Surrounding will create my body. And my body will create my mind. No, the mind is a forerunner. So if you have a healthy mind, you will definitely have a healthy body. And if you have a healthy mind, you will have healthy environment, healthy social connections with your surrounding. So that is the suggestion. Try and continue, try again and again, try to report us.
Thank you very much, Bhante, for your very insightful comments and observations to everyone who's reported their meditation, but also to all of us who are listening in for the progression of our mindfulness. I thought especially the comments about mind being the forerunner was extremely valuable. Okay, we have come to the end of the reports, and this is an opportunity for everybody who is participating to raise any questions they might have. If you do have any questions, kindly raise your hand so we can unmute you and you can ask your question to Bhante. I don't see any hands being raised, Namantha. So over to you.
Thank you very much, Gihanta, for presenting the reports and conducting the Q&A session. And thank you very much and much merits, Bhante, for the insightful guidance and the reports today. I think the next step would be for us to move on to the talk on mindfulness. On behalf of all organizers and participants, I would like to invite Bhante to commence with the talk for today with kindness to allow us to progress further in our mindful journey. Over to you, Bhante. Much merits.
Dear friends, so today also we had practicing part of our program. Then we were able to discuss the experiences that you had during your practice. So now we will talk a little bit about the practice, talk a little bit about the results, the benefits of this practice. So let me start like this. Now, when you deal with the society, when you deal with your day-to-day life, you encounter fear. You become fearful. Think about your day-to-day situations. Always fear is there. So it becomes a part of your day-to-day life. How should I deal with this fear that I'm facing? So you can try and find various ways to deal with this fear. Some people think that money can help them. Some people think that the relatives, their family members can help them. Some people think that law and reinforcements can help them. So various ways you are trying to protect yourself from this worldly fear. So as mindful practitioners, we too try to deal with, try to find a solution to this fear. So what are the fears that you are facing? You can see various situations that are there. Maybe you have problems with your professions, with your education, with your job. So you are facing fear that way. Although maybe you work for so many hours, but the income is not sufficient to survive. So those are areas of fear. So a lot of people, they struggle with employment. They try to find work that will make them happy, that will give a sufficient income for them, but still they struggle with that. Then you can see various illnesses that are there. You can see how the pandemic is there, how the new variants are coming. So that too creates fear inside us, fear in our mind. So that's another part of the fear that you can feel in your day-to-day life. You are worried about illnesses. Then when you function, maybe sometimes you are worried about various people. Sometimes you are worried about accidents. So those worries are also there. Sometimes you may even worry about your life. Maybe you will start worrying about your kids, your spouse. How will they survive in this world? Can I protect them in this world? So those questions will come. So this is the daily fear that we are facing. This is the fear in this world. So the practitioners, they too try to find a solution to the fear that they are facing. How can I change my situations to overcome this fear that I am facing? So it's a good question, good inquiry, that you should focus on your day-to-day life. If you experience this fear from the society, from the surrounding, then you have to find a solution to that. So it's actually a wise question to ask, how can I overcome this fear? Can I find a permanent solution for this? So the wise person, he keeps asking these questions from himself. He investigates to find out solutions to these questions. So when you investigate, you might come across these type of practices that will help you overcome fear. So that's what we are doing. We try to find permanent peace in our mind. We try to overcome the fear that we are facing in our day-to-day life. We try to find a solution to it. First of all, before even answering this question, you have to understand the fear comes from within, not from the outside world. Let me repeat again, the fear comes from within, not from the outside world. Because when you think a little bit about yourself, think the incidents in the past, then you realize so many times I have died inside my mind, not in the physical world, not actually, but inside my mind, I have died so many times. Maybe I had so many incidences that I got COVID, not in your body, but in your mind. Again and again, it told you that you are having COVID. But again and again, the test came negative. So these situations, they are created by your mind. Maybe already you had few strokes and almost died in your mind. Maybe even few cancers you got already in your mind. So these things, even before the actual sickness comes, before the actual fear comes, our mind is again and again fearful. It is encouraging this fear inside us. So the very source of this fear is within, not from the outside, not from the outside world. So you have to find a solution for this. So as mindful practitioners, we try to be aware. We try to be aware of the behavior of this mind. We try to pay attention and notice what is happening. As soon as you try to do this, you will notice your mind is more and more fearful. It is creating even bigger troubles, bigger difficulties than you used to have. When you pay attention, you can notice so many worrying thoughts are there in your mind. You can notice so many pains and aches are there in your body. So some people, they come and complain. You said this practice will help me, but as soon as I started my practice, I could feel even more and more fear. So it's a natural complaint. It is a usual complaint that you notice more and more fearful thoughts, that you notice more and more pains and aches in your body as soon as you pay attention. So that is why people try to find solutions. They try to find maybe alcohol, drugs to help them. You go to those people and you ask why you take this drug. They will tell that I need to forget myself. I can't deal with my thoughts. I can't deal with the surrounding. So taking this drug helps me to forget myself for a few hours. So that is actually true. When you forget these questions, when you forget these situations, then you can be peaceful for a while. But the problem is that that is not a permanent solution. After a few hours, it will hit you even harder. Next time you want to take a higher dose, because the earlier dose won't work for you. So when you pay attention, you can of course notice more and more difficulty, more and more thoughts, more and more aches and pains in your body. But that's a good sign. It's a good sign that you start this fight. It's a good sign that you start to notice the real process. So we should encourage the practitioner to practice again and again. Although the fearful thoughts are there, although the bodily difficulties are there, you should not give up. Instead, you practice again and again. You do your practice daily. You try to keep that pace. And when you do that, when you do it for a few weeks, even within a few weeks, you can notice now the mind is not so troubling. Now I can maintain my mindfulness for a few minutes, few breaths, few steps. Although the thoughts are there, although the bodily difficulties are there, I can manage them. they are not so distracting as they used to be. So that is a very good sign that you have matured in your practice. Now you know the benefit of this practice. Now you know how it is helping you to be calm and peaceful among these things. Among these fearful thoughts, you can still be calm and peaceful. Among these fearful situations, you can still be calm and peaceful. Among these sicknesses, you can still be calm and peaceful. So during maybe last week, I got so many feedbacks from various people. They are telling, when I started my practice, when I started mindful sitting, I had a headache. I had pain in my body. So initially I thought, should I practice or should I give up? So with that headache, with that difficulty, with that bodily pain, I started my practice. But within maybe 30, 40 minutes of practice, that headache disappeared. That bodily difficulties disappeared. And my mind became calm and peaceful. So where did it go? Where did this difficulty went? When you practice, you can feel it is disappearing. These bodily difficulties are disappearing. These worrying thoughts are disappearing. These headaches are disappearing. So many people, they wonder what happened. So that is why what I said, these difficulties, they come from within, not from the outside. The mind is the forerunner, so the bodily aches, headaches, difficulties, the root cause is the mind. The troubles, problems you have with the society, the root cause is the mind. If you have a fearful mind, you will have more and more fear in your body. If you have a fearful mind, you will have more and more fear dealing with your society, dealing with your environment. So first, as the very first step, you have to get rid of this root cause. As the very first step, you have to get rid of this fearful mind. So that is what we are doing. We are getting rid of this fearful mind. Only one thing you have to do, you have to continue being aware. Don't worry about the thoughts that are appearing, just let them pass. Don't worry about the various sensations, aches, pains that are appearing, just let them pass. Don't worry about the various mental images, sensations that are appearing, just let them pass. When you do that, you are getting rid of this fearful mind, and instead you are creating this brave mind. A mind that can face whatever the illnesses that you meet with. A mind that can overcome whatever the difficulties, problems that you deal with. So if you get rid of fear in your mind, then you won't have any fear in your body. Then you won't have any fear dealing with your society. So that is the invitation. When you try and practice this again and again, you can, of course, notice. Within a few weeks, you can notice. When I started my practice, I was so fearful. I had so many problems. I had so many illnesses. But now I feel much better after 3 weeks of practice. If I continue this practice again and again, then I will feel even better. So that's the invitation. That's the aim that we are after. We try to get rid of this fearful mind and replace it with the brave mind. So when you face your day-to-day life, various situations, incidents come. Instead of encouraging the usual mind, the usual fearful mind, you can just take a breath and notice what is going on. How should I react? Just take a small break, take a breath, and notice what is going on. Before reacting, just take a few breaths and notice what is going on. Notice whether you are angry in your mind. Notice whether you feel hurt in your mind. Notice whether you have some kind of a emotion in your mind. Before reacting, we just take a break. We just take note of what is happening. So if you face your day-to-day situations like this, then you are not encouraging that usual way of working, that usual way of dealing with things. Instead, the practitioner, they take a moment to notice what is going on. Before reacting, they take a moment to think. Instead of forgetting about themselves, they try to be aware what is happening. They are aware about their emotions. They are aware about the surrounding, and they are aware about the person, emotions of the person that they are dealing with. So if you have that awareness, you may not react so swiftly. Instead, you may take a breath and try to react in a wise manner. So that is why we encourage you to be mindful even in your day-to-day life. Start with walking and sitting. Support to get rid of this fear in your mind. With that support, you can go and face your day-to-day situations. Try and notice what is happening. Try and notice your emotions. Try and respond wisely to these situations that you feel. So when you do it, when you function for some time, when you do this practice for some time, your brain is even rewiring. The usual circuits will disappear and new circuits will appear. The usual circuits of fear will disappear and new circuits of strength will appear. You can even see the effects of this practice on a brain scan. So if you have a pathway that you are using again and again, it is natural that it will become stronger and stronger. So the practitioner, they encourage only the certain pathways, only the positive pathways, and they try to discourage the negative ones. Addictions, negative habits, negative ways of responding, they discourage. They encourage the positive ones. And with time, when you do that again and again, you notice that the negative ones are disappearing and the positive ones are appearing in your brain. So that is life changing. That is changing your entire outlook of this world. So first you have to support this mind, support to get rid of the fear inside it. Then little by little, you can, of course, change your life towards a better direction. So try to practice again and again. Try to notice how the fear is coming into your mind without any invitation. how it is creating trouble inside your mind again and again. Just try to notice. Noticing is enough. Becoming aware is enough. With that, you can face these fears in a better way. Avoid usual ways of facing. Avoid the negative ways of reacting. And support and strengthen the positive ones. And when you do it again and again, you can find, I have made so many changes in my life. And they are positive changes. I have made changes in my job, in my work. I have made changes in my family and friends. I have made changes, maybe even the environment that I live in. And these changes help me to achieve much better states of mind, much better positive ways of thinking, positive ways of reacting. When you practice, then only you can influence those things. Then only you can encourage these positive changes. So I invite all of you to practice, see for yourself. Don't believe just what I am saying. Instead, try to see for yourself. Try to practice for yourself. And if you see for yourself, then you don't have to believe anybody else. If you see the benefits for yourself, then you don't have to believe somebody else's words. Instead, you know, because you have practiced, and you know the benefits yourself. So that's the invitation for today. And thank you for listening.
Much merits to Bhante for that talk on mindfulness, and especially how to have a brave mind being formed by mindful practice as a strong result, so that we can benefit with more comfort and more well-being mentally, and even might be in a physical sense of well-being. If anyone has any questions on the talk, from any content on the talk itself, please raise a Zoom hand and we can spare a few moments. Okay. Gihanta, you can unmute yourself and raise your question. Thank you. Gihanta, I think you are still on mute. Can you just...
Right. Thank you, Namanta. Thank you very much, Bhante, for that really... very insightful talk about dealing with fear. My question actually is in relation to the talk, but also the meditation we did earlier. And I think your talk in some ways answered my question to a large extent, but I will clarify now. During meditation, we experience calm. And that calm is because we let go of the thoughts that come continuously. Whatever the thoughts are, it could be positive or negative. We tend to let go and, as you say, observe. And then we get calm. In real life, sometimes you can let go. But in real life, when you're facing situations, either at work or at home, you have to act. So you have to entertain certain thoughts. We take some of our thoughts as reality. What we think are unreal, we let go, but we are sometimes compelled. I sometimes feel compelled to act. If I don't act, my fear and anxiety can go up. And I think it is by acting and that I'm able to actually reduce my fear because I'm trying to solve the problem. So I feel that you have to make a decision that there are some thoughts you can let go, but some thoughts you have to take as real and act. So Bhante, can you advise, in meditation we let go, but in real life, sometimes you can let go, sometimes you can't. How do you decide which thoughts to entertain and act and which thoughts to let go?
Okay, Gihanta, so that's a question that everybody is facing in their day-to-day life. They have to act, they have to do their jobs, they have to take care of their families. So, of course, there are situations that you have to react. You have to act fast. But let me tell you like this. Now, let's take a house. If you go inside that house, then your view is limited. Your view of the world is limited to those four walls. That is your world when you go inside your house, right? But think, if you are not going inside, instead you watch from the outside, then you see the house, of course, then you see the trees that surrounds it, then you see probably the sun in the sky. So the bigger picture you are seeing, right? So think about the difference in those situations. So if you go inside the house, your view is limited. It is constrained to the four walls. But when you stay outside, you see much bigger picture, a wider picture you see. So that's the difference of this practice. So if you go to those thoughts, if you make them yours, if you make the emotions yours, then that becomes your world. For example, anger. So your entire world becomes angry. And your view is limited. You don't see anything beyond those emotions, thoughts. So the idea is not real, avoiding all things. Instead, seeing the wider picture. Try to take a look at the big picture, and when you, of course, see the big picture, you can respond wisely. You can find much better ways to react, respond. So that's the idea. So it is not intentional. That's the thing about this practice. Although, let's say you think, okay, next time I will see the big picture, I will try to stay outside and I won't go inside. But something happens. Without you even knowing, you are inside, right? Your view is limited. So that is how the mind works. But when you practice, when I say practice, being mindful, training your mind to be mindful, your mind won't go in so quickly to the situations. It won't make emotions, thoughts yours. Instead, it will just see these emotions, but it will try to see the other possibilities as well. So that's important. That's important to react wisely. That's important to deal with your day-to-day problems. So we are not encouraging not reacting at all. Sometimes you have to react. Sometimes you can stay quiet. Sometimes you can manage your own thing and not react. But there are situations that you have to react. When you react, you have to react wisely. Otherwise, you are creating a huge mess out of something that has happened. So when you have that broader view, then you can respond to situations wisely. So let's say you sent an email, right? You didn't get an answer within 1 or 2 hours. Then you think, what has happened? This person, he got my email. He's not responding. What is going on? Maybe he's mad with me. All those thoughts come, right? Then you send another email. Probably after 3 hours, you send the third email. Then maybe by that time, you are really hurt. You don't want to talk to this person anymore. But maybe after 4 or 5 hours, he's responding. What is going on? I was in a meeting all this time. What has happened? So instead of creating the situation around you, maybe you think wisely. Maybe this person is busy. Maybe he wasn't aware. Maybe he didn't see me. Right? So various possibilities are there. So that's why even Winnie the Pooh, he is suggesting when the other person seems to not hear you, don't think they are ignoring. Instead, think they have some trouble in their ear. That is why they act like they didn't hear, not because of you. So this is the worldview. We are seeing a bigger picture instead of creating the situation centering you. So if you make your emotions, thoughts yours, then everything rotates around you. Your worldview becomes you-centered. But the wise person, they see the bigger picture. Maybe they say they have some other thing. Maybe they had some other difficulty. Maybe they didn't see me. So I don't have to worry. I just work on the next thing on my list. I just move forward. I just let go. So these viewpoints are automatically coming into your mind. More you practice, bigger the picture you will see. You can't intentionally do it. Instead, you have to practice again and again, try to create this quality of your mind to be aware. More you support that quality, wider the picture you will see in the situations. So I hope I gave a proper answer to your question.
Thank you, Bhante. It was very comprehensive. Thank you very much.
Much merits to Bhante for the answer on that question. I think we are close to our session finish time, and I would like to wrap up today's session with that final question and answer on the talk. I would like to thank Venerable Bhante Homagama Dhamma Kusala Thero for joining today's session and dedicating Bhante's valued time from practice on our behalf, and allowing us to hear so much insightful advice on how to continue with mindful practice. This will go each day. What we learn will add to our knowledge, wisdom, and practice itself. So thank you and much merits to Bhante, and we wish Bhante all the best of luck and good fortune on Bhante's own development of mindful practice. Next, I would like to thank Most Venerable Bhante Udu Irekama Dhamma Jeeva Mahathera for requesting us and providing the guidance and resources to commence and sustain this program with representation from the Saravanani Forest Monastery, which is a very esteemed organization which is helping the mindful practice all over the world, not just in Sri Lanka. Then next, I would also like to thank all the organizers who have worked tirelessly to bring this program into being, and one special person who's been dedicating a lot of time and effort from the very beginning is Rajika, who is also a co-host in this session in the organizing committee. I would like to thank her as well for initial guidance and also the ongoing guidance and direction from the organization point of view. So apart from that, there is Lushani, who needs to be thanked for coordinating all the persons from the UK to join as organizers to the team. And also today we have Arusha and Gihanta joining in as well. And also there is Udara joining us from Scotland from today onwards as another person joining the team of organizers. We hope to continue this session, providing the vehicle, the channel for us to pass on the message from Nisarnamane First Monastery on mindfulness. So with that, and also I would like to thank all the participants who joined in for today. Without you, we cannot hold this session. None of us will be hearing all this wonderful advice from Bhante. So thank you for joining, and we invite you all to join continuously now throughout all the next sessions. Then with that, today's session comes to an end. I would like to briefly go through some announcements for today. And I would like to share the screen. Okay, you can see on screen the felicitation conference notification with regard to Venerable Audayiregama Dhammajiva Mahatheru's birthday happening. That is the 70th birthday of Most Venerable Bante. The topic on that day would be mindfulness, a career, a journey, a life. So there will be many, over 9 hours, there will be masters of mindfulness coming into the session and dedicating their time and providing their thoughts. So this is going to happen on the 5th of February from 8:30 a.m. to 11:30 p.m. That will be Sri Lanka time. And for you to register, you can go on to nissarana.lk website and register your details there. The next announcement would be the ones on the websites. The website for Nisarana is nissarana.lk. You can go on the website and find an ocean of resources on the Nisarana Mane Forest Monastery's significant amount of achievements and details, as well as resources on mindful practice. Then we have the Satipasala website, which is describing the wonderful initiative by Satipasala Foundation to pass on mindful practice, knowledge and wisdom and training to students and other old people of from all walks of life. So with that, I will sum up today's announcements. And I think we have gathered a lot of knowledge and expertise from Bante. So the fourth announcement is actually, there's a fourth announcement which I forgot almost, which is to for me to invite anyone else, any of your friends who are interested in mindfulness development to take part in this session. You can pass on the Zoom details and the time, which is Sri Lanka. If it is Sri Lanka, it's 1 p.m. Sri Lankan time, so that they can start joining into the session. With that, all the four announcements are now over. I would like to end today's session with those announcements. I would like to wish all of you a happy and mindful week ahead, and that you would be able to develop your mindful practice, strengthen it more and more in the coming days. And we will be meeting next week, same time on Saturday, for the next session, the 19th session on mindfulness practice. And again, I would like to thank our Bante deeply for Bante's contribution, and I will end the session.